There's a lot on the horizon statewide when it comes to education as well. We have been moving up the charts, and things look like we're trending. We're going to continue to trend in that direction. Joining us now is our state superintendent of education, Dr. Cade Brumley. Dr. Brumley, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian. Long time no see.
Right?
Thanks for joining us last week in New Orleans, where we had over 7,000 teachers working on getting better at their craft.
So first and foremost, yes, thank you for having me out there. That was phenomenal to see teachers at a time in the school year where they ought to just be, you know, dropping and falling and collapsing, to roll in there with that level of energy, that level of focus, that level of looking towards the future. I mean, it's impossible to walk away anything but inspired.
Yeah, we were thrilled with the way in which it turned out. You know, 7,000 plus teachers, the largest ever, hundreds of sessions that were tied to our priority areas as an agency, such as back to the basics, reading and math, you know, transforming the high school experience, elevating the teaching profession, those types of things. And so it went really well. And I don't know if you noticed, Brian, but those teachers were in class from like 8 to 4:30 every day. So they were really getting with it.
Yeah, no, it totally. That's why they've just been dropping like flies. Now, inviting a bunch of teachers to, you know, be adjacent to the French Quarter probably doesn't hurt.
Well, that's right. And I hope they had some fun in the evenings. I really do.
Absolutely.
I hope they had some time to wind down a little bit and enjoy their friends. But during the day, it was all business. And maybe there was a little party at night. I don't know. But I hope there was.
Yes, absolutely. The Teacher Leader Summit, over 7,000 educators in that building. It was impressive to see. All right, we got to get to it, man. Dr. Cade Brumley is our guest. Tell me all about this PragerU controversy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have said many times on this program that, you know, I believe America is an exceptional country that is on the quest and has been on the quest for a more perfect union. And we have to recognize the struggles and the sacrifices of individuals before us to place us where we are here today. And so we worked to develop a set of social studies standards over the course of a year called our Freedom Framework. Unanimously approved by our board, unanimously approved by House Education Committee about a year ago, and have been heralded as potentially the best standards for civics and history now in the country. One of the things that often happens is that various vendors then provide supplemental resources to schools in all the content areas, math, English, science, social studies. And PragerU Kids is one of those vendors that provides supplemental resources in the form of videos to teachers. I'll tell you, teachers in Louisiana already use PragerU Kids. Families use PragerU Kids. It's very prevalent in the homeschool community. It's a pro-America nonprofit that provides short videos that align to standards. And so all we asked them to do when they approached us is, hey, why don't you take our Freedom Framework, our standards? You have over several hundred videos about history and civics content, and simply match them up to our standards. So if a teacher wants to use the video and a system wants to use it, they're free to use it as a supplemental material. We have no contract with PragerU Kids. We've exchanged no dollars with PragerU Kids. There's no mandate for anyone to use PragerU Kids. It's simply a supplemental resource for school systems or families that want to access the content.
Who's doing oversight on what the content is?
Yep. So that is a local decision. So the State Department of Education, we do not vet supplemental materials for classrooms. That's not something by state law that we're even essentially allowed to do. We will review curriculum and post some thoughts on curriculum. But when it comes to supplemental materials in classrooms, I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of vendors out there that support teachers and school systems. And so that's where teachers and principals and school system leaders and school boards work with parents to determine what's the best content. But you know, I do find it problematic that this particular vendor is under attack here, because, you know, they do produce high quality videos. They are pro-American content. They have two videos that have been called out as the most controversial. One of those is in the 1500s. It's two kids from present day time, and they're in a cartoon, and they time travel back to see Christopher Columbus on a ship. And so Columbus is coming to the Americas. He's talking to the kids about a couple of native groups and, you know, basically talking about how one of the groups is cannibalistic. And someone is talking about how slavery is bad, and the cannibalistic group sometimes takes kids, I mean, adults into slavery. And Columbus says, well, I guess it's better than to die, or something like that. And so what the people at PragerU Kids have said, and I think it's probably accurate, is, you know, in that time, slavery across the earth was very common. And had he responded in a different way, they say that they felt like they would have been misrepresenting history. And so that's one of the controversies. The other is in a short video about abolishing slavery and doing away with slavery. It talks about how awful slavery is, unfair. It's the cartoon again. And Frederick Douglass is like the hero of and the star of the video. And he talks about the compromise that had to be made in order to move the Union forward. And he called Frederick Douglass, actually in a speech, he's quoted, he calls the Constitution a glorious document. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that caused some level of controversy. But what even happens in that particular cartoon is the kids say, guess what, you know, Mr. Douglass, I want you to know you are an American hero now. We think you're an American hero. And so it's a lot of things out of context, sensationalized for the media and for politics. But at the end of the day, that's where we stand.
We're talking with Dr. Cade Brumley. We're going to get into some of the legislative things that went down in the legislative session in just a little bit. But I want to spend another minute or two on the PragerU stuff because it has garnered so many headlines. What has been the reaction to your office from this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. You know, we live in a diverse society and people view things in different ways. And that's why I think on this particular issue, as in so many others, local decision making matters. You know, we have no formal statewide contract. We have no funds exchange. It's not mandatory. Local communities can use the resource that they feel is best. You know, while there have been some individuals upset, there have been a ton of individuals excited because so many people have already been using these resources and they're aware of these resources and they like these resources. And so it's been mixed, I would say, overwhelmingly supportive. I would say in the media, more of a negative.
I've always viewed PragerU as edutainment, I think is the morphed word that comes up with it. My reaction was this is why it falls in as a supplemental resource. This isn't replacing textbooks.
Nope, not at all. I mean, we have a responsibility as a state agency to look at curriculum. We post curriculum quality on our website. But when we're talking about, you know, hundreds or thousands of supplemental resources, that's not something that we particularly vet. Mm-hmm. And our engagement here with PragerU Kids is simply, hey, look, here are standards. Many people believe they're the best in the country. If you're trying to make life easier on teachers and families, take your videos, determine which video aligns to each standard, and that would be helpful. I mean, and that's the extent of that partnership.
We got Dr. Cade Brumley with us. Dr. Brumley, as a side note, let me just step aside real quick. Parents out there, if you've got kids that are like fifth through eighth grade, if you want to spark any kind of entrepreneurial spirit in them, watching The Hustle on PragerU Kids is amazing. It's great content. That's outside of the classroom. That's at home. But just speaking on behalf of that series of videos, I know that we utilize it as well. So when I heard the news, Dr. Brumley, I was like, wow, okay, this is thinking outside the box, or at least thinking outside the textbook. Let's see what we can get out of it.
Well, they also do, I mean, if you're talking about that particular age group, they also do a program, I think it's called Street Smarts,
yeah,
where they basically, it's like Cash Cab, the adult show you may have seen on TV, Cash Cab, where they go around and they, you know, they ask kids questions about civics and history, and they give them money if they get the questions right, and if they don't, they pay it back, and, you know, they can phone a friend for a few dollars. It's just a game. So, I mean, you know, it's something, like I said, that many families across the state, across the country, are already very familiar with. Many families are saying, "What? We don't even understand the issue." And some families are saying, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing?" So that's why local decision making really matters here. We have advised them how to be most helpful in terms of just simply linking their content and doing a crosswalk against our standards, which are the best in the country. Brian, I know we want to move to legislation, but I want to just briefly say why this is important. You know, a few years ago, the Woodrow Wilson Foundation did a study of like history and civics in all the states around the country, and they found that Louisiana was the absolute lowest in terms of knowledge of history and civics. Louisiana was the lowest in the entire country. And that's saying something because across the country, and I think this is a national security threat, and I've said that many times, only about 13% of kids in the United States are graduating high school proficient in U.S. history. That's scary, okay? And so we have to do more to take on the understanding and knowledge of civics and history in this country, and we're taking it head on because we want to change that. We don't want to be like that anymore. We do live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and it is in a quest to be a more perfect union. And students need to understand, appreciate, and realize their role in sustaining and improving upon the constitutional republic for which we live.
We've got Dr. Cade Brumley with us for just a couple more minutes. I want to spend these last 2 minutes focused in on the legislative session. What were your biggest takeaways? What did you see as a win coming out of the session?
Yeah, I was actually counting last night. Since I have been state superintendent, that was, I think, the 16th legislative session. Now, some of those were special sessions or veto sessions, but number 16 in 4 years. It was a long, it was a hard session, much more difficult and strenuous than I ever thought this session would have been. But we got a lot of good stuff done, I think, on the educational front. Had an ESA bill pass, had a very significant high-dosage tutoring bill pass, a math screener, some new charter bills. We had some students with exceptionalities, disabilities bill pass that kind of is real parent-friendly, which I think was needed. Beth Mizell had the cell phone bill. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the bills. And then on the funding side, you know, we're excited that the teacher stipend was fully funded. So we're excited about that. Early childhood, while it didn't receive all of the funding, it did receive significant investment. We received $17.5 million for differentiated compensation to pay teachers in like market needy jobs like high school math and science, special education, more money. We got about $35 million for tutoring, which includes $30 million for in-the-day supports and $5 million for the Steve Carter Literacy Program, which is vouchers in the evenings, mm-hmm. And then $2 million for apprenticeships, so which can drive some of the economic development that we need to see in the state. So saw a collection of really friendly education bills make their way through and did fairly well on the funding. So I extend a thanks to the governor's office. I extend a thanks to the legislature for working through a lot of complicated issues, but I feel like education really, really did well this session.
Got one more for you before we get you out of here, Dr. Brumley. And I'd like to make it two more, but I got to respect the clock here a little bit. Early childhood education, we got a big windfall from the federal government for a couple of years during the pandemic and whatnot. Now, as that federal money has dried up, our legislature has gone out of their way to see about replacing it. Now, they haven't been able to replace it dollar for dollar. What can be done moving forward to help, I don't want to say redirect funds, but generate funds to go into that specifically? Because you and I both know that sets the groundwork for the rest of the educational career.
So our legislature has made historic investments in the early care and education over the last couple of years. They really have. And there was also the federal dollars that were pandemic related to make sure that you could infuse those into the economy, make sure that families had a place for their child if they needed to go back to work. So you had a tremendous amount of early care and education funding. Like you said, the federal dollars are going away. I think what's important moving forward on this is that it not just become a state issue, but it become, if it's of interest to a local community, that it become a shared interest investment between the local community and the state. Mm-hmm. So that the investment isn't borne by just one governmental entity. And I think that that's really important as that moves forward, because local communities need to make the decision of, is this something for which we want to invest? And if the answer to that is yes, then I think the state needs to be there with some form of support as well. But we can't say early care and education, if we're talking about government funding of that, it is all the responsibility of one particular level of government.
Which just leaves me disappointed about the lack of a constitutional convention. He's Dr. Cade Brumley, our state superintendent of education. Once again, thank you for that invite last week. It was phenomenal. And as always, thank you for the conversation.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.